G'day, punters. Welcome back to the AFL Line season 2016 after what was a bit of a so-so week, I suppose, but that's going to happen this time of year, isn't it?
So-so week for you. It was a bloody awful week for me. I was about the calibre of the Australian middle order this weekend. Just when things got tough, folded very abruptly.
That's pretty ordinary. But look, all in all, though, it was a interesting week of football. There was a couple of results that bounced the ball here or there, or a little bit of starch from some of the underdogs, could have really put a big shake up in the finals makeup come to be. Particularly probably the Richmond Geelong game. If Richmond had got past Geelong and found a way to get up there,
they would have opened a few doors for a few sides.
Would have opened a lot of doors. But as it stands now, GWS probably really battling to make top four, which no one would have probably saw even 2 weeks ago. So, look, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting run home.
There'll be a very interested party on Friday night when Subiaco Oval, West Coast, host the Hawks. This is near enough a pick'em game. Total points line around the 170 mark.
I don't even care about the result, to be honest. No, I absolutely do. it's going to be a great game of football. They're always hotly contested over there. As the I'm sure you'll tell the punters, previous results have always shown that they haven't been high-scoring affairs.
Yep.
But if memory serves me correctly, quite a few of these encounters have, if not been wet, been played after a bit of wet. Mm. So keep that in your thinking when you open up the wallet. I'll be watching intently, but I'll have no financial interest in this one. Just be cheering on my boys and probably punching a few holes in your walls.
I'm happy to be with the under here. As I said, the recent head-to-head history goes under, includes a grand final, a round two game this year, which the conditions weren't too bad, and a finals match at night at Subi last year. This will be finals atmosphere. West Coast need it. Now that they've got themselves into a spot where they can, top four destiny is essentially theirs to make. Nonetheless, I'm sick of Hawthorn pulling my pants down about this stuff. You just keep looking at it and going, on paper and on form and with home field advantage, you'd have the Eagles here and nah. And you just sit there afterwards and go, bloody hell, the Hawks got around as underdogs once again without me being on them. Happy enough to play the under here. I think this is an early finals game. And absolutely, I think the intensity will go with it.
Oh, look, and the ramifications for both sides are massive. If the Eagles get up by virtue of percentage, they steal a march on the Hawks.
Yep.
So it's not just a finals game. This is almost an elimination final. Mm. I mean, the way the Pies are tracking, Hawthorn could conceivably go 1-1-3 in their last four and miss the top four altogether. And from then on, it's a hell of a long way back, as we've seen. So
it is.
Yeah, look, massive, massive game with massive, massive finals connotations. So, must watch footy.
Absolutely, another game with big finals connotations kicks us off on Saturday. We're down at Hobart, Blundstone Arena, or Bell. It's Blundstone, isn't it?
It's
Bell Reeve.
It's Bell Reeve. Fuck. Yeah. Who cares who sponsors it? Like, we're not getting paid. Who gives a fuck?
It's where Bell Reeve. where they play Test cricket down at Hobart, where 47 people go and watch.
Exactly right. One of North Melbourne, Stu Warren. G'day, Stu.
North Melbourne and Sydney down there. So the North are getting a little over three goals. Total points line for this game opened mid 170s, in fact near enough 180 at some venues, and very quickly found its way to the mid to high 160s.
I'm not sure if we got weather on the way, which is what may have precluded that sort of shift inwards on the total line, but the Melbourne are going like bastards at the moment.
Yep.
Everyone knows it. I think they're down to one of their key three, and it's the one that they could least afford to, or most afford to lose, I suppose, in the forward setup. Their midfield is just not, they're not getting quality possession. If you watch North Melbourne play football, they win the ball in tight and then it's hack forward. They don't have that spread from the contest to get separation and then have unpressured entries into the forward 50, and it just makes it a lottery for them. I shown up by the Hawks last week, who I still think were a long way short of a good gallop. And Sydney were phenomenal last week. The form Franklin's in, no Thompson for the The Ruse, who's done a job on him in the past, I just don't think they've got another logical matchup. He could relive his Tassie glory days, and there could be another 13 on the cards this week. But either way, Sydney to win by plenty. I'm very happy to lay three goals against an underperforming North Melbourne. Yep.
I was certainly leaning the minus, but I'm keener on the under here. Recent head-to-head history, all low-scoring games. After last week, when I thought, well, North do a right against the Hawks, or they can score right against the Hawks. Perfect day, and they never looked like it.
Well, I tell you now, if this goes under, it's because there's either been 3.5 inches of rain or North Melbourne scored 25 points. That's the only thing that's going to keep this one under, my friend. But
well, Tassie weather is always a chance. Even without rain, there could just be...
They are bloody weirdos, down there.
Yeah. 8 degrees, 30k an hour wind coming in. Absolutely. I just don't know where North score points here.
That's fair.
I'm pretty comfortable with this being a bludger of a game skills-wise on a few fronts, particularly for North. Certainly leaning Sydney minus, but keener on the under. Second of the Saturday afternoon games, we're at the MCG for Richmond and St Kilda. This is pretty close to a pick 'em too. St Kilda may be very slight favourites at a couple of venues. Total points line, high 160s.
Yeah, didn't take too much out of the head-to-head this week, purely because Richmond and St Kilda are both just so bloody unpredictable.
Yeah, and the recent head-to-head history is Richmond in finals and St Kilda being bludgers, and their ladder position doesn't reflect that anymore.
Exactly right. So it's difficult to get a gauge on that. I mean, Richmond have certainly played better football the last couple of weeks since they've realised that they can't make finals, whether that's just a final FU to their fans who've been with them for decades.
Just enough to get them to butter up for memberships next year.
St Kilda obviously now can't make it. That door's been closed, but they have been that sort of team that have found that performance when it's there. MCG, different proposition for the Saints, I think. So if you were going to look at a head-to-head bet, Richmond with any points is certainly the play. I'm not going to play that, though. I'm actually going to play the over in this game. St Kilda are a good attacking team. Richmond have shown they can score against weaker opposition without solid defensive structures, which St Kilda certainly haven't displayed this year for the entirety or for the majority. So I expect this to be a bit of a rehash of the Richmond Gold Coast game down there earlier where there was a couple hundred points scored, but neither team really played very good football. So overs is a bet for me.
Yeah, I could get close to that. That's certainly the direction that I'm heading in. Not terribly interested in the line. St Kilda don't get around at the MCG too often, so it's pretty hard to put a form line through that. And Richmond, you just wouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
Lean to the over, but no play there for me.
Yeah.
Saturday Twilight, we're at Spotless Stadium for GWS hosting Frio. Giants laying nearly 10 goals. Total points line around the 170 mark.
Well, the Giants, they would have been kicking themselves all week because they basically let top four slip out of their hands.
Yep. And they were two and a half, 3 goals in front.
Yeah,
had a couple of junctures in the second half.
Just failed a couple of defensive assignments with regards to positioning around a stoppage late in the game and allowed the big boy to kick a goal and seal it against them when they were they pretty much had the game ice. So. Look, I expect them to come out firing this week. There's no doubt about that. What Fremantle bring, I don't know. Yeah. Who can get a gauge on them? 10 goals is a lot. This is an easy walk away from me. There's not too much interest.
Yeah, I'm likewise. I just don't know what Frio is going to be bothered to bring over with them for a second last week. I mean, if you're Ross, surely you have to think pretty hard about playing a few kids here, or possibly testing the mettle of a few that you're not sure whether they'll be on your list next year or not. And saying,
possibly a bloke who, like a Hayden Ballantyne, is I don't want to be here next year, giving him the spear to the twos.
Yeah,
you know, like these sorts of things have got to be in the equation. So. Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Too many unknowns with them at the moment.
Well, if gun to your head, you'd play the under. Because Fremantle at the moment, with the side that they're likely to bring over, with potentially no Ballantyne and certainly no Pavlich, there's a chance that they might not kick 30 points.
Yeah.
But that being said, GWS with a bug up their ass, there's a chance they can come out and 160 themselves.
Yeah. Particularly if the ball's never down the Freo end.
Exactly right.
Saturday night, we're at the Docklands for Collingwood and the Gold Coast. Collingwood laying about 3.5 goals, total points line high 170s.
Yeah, well, I actually, geez, Collingwood really did a job last week for me, and they got across that line that I thought they were going to against the Dogs.
Yep.
But that was more because of the Dogs' inability to close an opponent out that they've shown all year. But that being said, the Suns have certainly been playing better football.
Until last week, well, you're beauty.
Yeah, well, fuck me. a broken clock is right twice a year.
Two wins is two more.
Twice a year.
Yep.
Again, goodness me, what a debacle. But anyway, prior to that, they looked like they were actually showing a few signs that they wanted to be a football team.
Yep.
God only knows what's going on there. I don't mind the way Collingwood are going about at the moment. They've got a pretty high sort of pressure game going up at the moment, and that's what Buckley is putting his emphasis on, and certainly what he must be rolling his trips about, is about win a game contest by contest and effort by effort, and that's what's going to get you a gig at our football club next year. Yeah. I just got the feeling, Eddie had, this game's going to be, there's going to be a lot of contested footy, but it's not going to be four quarters of stoppages. It's going to be contested footy with a bit of spill out, and there's going to be a bit of a, the teams will get a chance to kick their four or five a quarter, and if they kick accurately, which they should under the lid, there's no reason why this game can't go the over, and that's what I'm going to bet on.
Yeah, I had a lean the over. I had this marked closer to 185 than high 170s, but I'm sick of betting Eddie Had games and getting screwed over, particularly when I bet the over. So for anyone who actually wants the over, be thankful that I'm not riding your coattails this one.
Thank you.
Second of the Saturday night games, we're at the Adelaide Oval for the showdown, Port and the Crows. Port getting near enough six goals, total points line low 180s.
It's one of those games, isn't it, where you sort of feel, you feel a bit for Port Adelaide and what they're actually going to bring to the table, because they would be wild, absolutely wild is the word I'm looking for, that they are starting six goal underdogs at this stage of the year in a showdown. They would be absolutely filthy if they're not in finals contention, and there's a chance they're going to come out there and try and break every single bone in their opposition's body by just cracking at the football 100 miles an hour and really locking it down. I know the last three showdowns have all gone pretty big numbers. I'm sure you give us the precise figures in a moment, but it's just got that feel that this one might be a bit of a clamp down. But look, a run of numbers like we're about to see, I don't think you can get too far away from the over in this one.
I can
particularly. Are you going to go the under?
I'm going the under.
You're a fucking weirdo, mate. The Crows will score 120, and I'm backing the power to push them all the way. So I'm going to go the over. Tell me why not. Go on, tell me.
Strong trends here for the under in night games. Crows are heavy over everywhere except home favourites, where it's a wash for them. A couple of those games where the recent head history has gone north of 200 have been day games. And Port, in the last 2 weeks, haven't come up with 60 either time. Against Melbourne, that's more damning. Melbourne at home, and they just did not have a score in them whatsoever.
Pumped Hawthorn though, mate.
I got close.
Don't get me wrong. Melbourne pumped Hawthorn.
Yeah. But I'm thinking more about Port's incapacity to score. I got actually quite close to having the Crows minus and the under, because I don't think... Where are the Power getting their forward momentum from at the moment?
They were bloody awful
against Sydney, and they were just Winger, as bad against Melbourne.
The Hoff, these guys, they all stand up in showdowns. You look at their records over the last four or five, I'm sure you'll see that Wingard's probably averaged 3 goals a game. The Hoff's probably averaged 25 touches and a couple of goals a game. Shorter's still floating around down there. Look, they've got avenues to score.
Oh, they've got talent.
Yeah. But it's whether or not their midfield brings their A game.
Yeah.
And I personally think the ruck duel here is going to be pivotal because Jackson Trengrove has been doing a mighty job in the ruck, albeit undersized, and he's essentially just playing as a ruck rover who jumps against the big blokes, but he's done really, really well against dominant ruckmen who aren't too mobile, of which Sauce Jacobs is definitely one. He tore Goldstein to bits. He certainly done a job on a couple of other blokes. Did really well against the Hawthorn big boys. I know that for a fact. So if they can break even in the midfield, Porter a chance, but it will still be a high-scoring game, and I reckon 200's in play. This is a no-brainer over for me. I'm happy to take you. We'll do a little rundown for the boys next week, for the listeners next week. And do you just go back through your spreadsheets and you tell the guys next week how many times we've gone head-to-head this year where you've got up? Because I reckon we're running about 15-1 at the moment. It's probably not that many, but it might be like 3-2 or something.
Oh, dear.
Shift on. Come on.
Sunday afternoon, we're at the MCG for Carlton and Melbourne. Blues getting about 3.5 goals. Total points line about the 170 mark.
I originally really liked Carlton at the plus in this game just because Carlton at the plus have been a pretty good bet all year. They've, apart from a couple of, you'd call them anomaly games or abominations, whatever you want to fucking call it, they've been pretty handy most of the year at the plus because they're a good, honest team and they work hard for each other. Coming to the back end of the season where everyone's getting a bit tired and they might be starting to think about next year already and what we can do, it's a little bit difficult to really take them on that face value. Melbourne, on the other hand, put together a couple of really strong performances.
Melbourne can still run eighth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if North get beaten, I mean, they're only about 4% apart at the moment. So if North lose and Melbourne win, even if they're not by huge margins, 4% might turn into 2%. Melbourne's still got a roll. I think it's Geelong next week, but they at least get a look. And North have got G-Dub.
Yeah.
So North could be parked.
Absolutely.
At 12 wins.
Well, North are parked at 12 wins. North Melbourne will not win another game this year. There's nothing sure than that. So
Melbourne are looking at this going, if we can win and we can win by enough, then it's a win and you're in against Geelong next week.
No,
it's almost like a playoff for eighth, effectively, for them.
Absolutely, and no doubt Roosie and especially Goody will be feeding that into the boys this week. But
now, how Melbourne handle that, they haven't been the best with moments like that.
I guarantee you that the other side of the equation is that Brendan Bolton knows that as well.
Yeah,
and he'll be asking his charges. You know, like we can't play in September. We can fuck up somebody else's day. Yeah. And that's the spitefulness between the clubs. That's what it comes down to this time of year. Like, this is our grand final.
Yeah,
if we can stop the D's, who are perennial cellar dwellers the same as us, if we can stop them from getting in the finals, then the gloss shines off them and it comes onto us for a day. You know, that's the sort of mentality that could potentially be there.
Well, that's it. Haven't won a game for a while. They just need to win one.
Well, it's going to be a really intriguing game to watch. There's no need to have a bet, but I think it'll be a great game to watch.
Yeah.
But as you say, Melbourne have certainly got the pedigree and they've got the playing base. I wouldn't be surprised to see Melbourne win by 15 goals.
Yes.
But there's just that little bit in me.
Yeah, it says they might drop this one.
That one hair on the back of my neck that says Carlton could push into the wire, and that's what I'm saying.
Yep. Yeah, pretty easy walk away for me for all those reasons. Second of the Sunday afternoon games, we're at the Gabba for Brisbane and Geelong. Lions getting almost 10 goals. Total points line about the 190 mark.
Yeah, look, it's one of those weird ones again. 10-goal line, but I just don't think the total's enough for mine. Brisbane have shown over the journey
that they can't defend against anyone.
Obviously, they can't defend against anyone. Yeah. That's not the point in question, but they can score. They can score. They always can. And a team like Geelong that goes up there and is like, all right, well, we're just going to really run our attack and really push it today because then we know they can't defend. They're not going to care about the 12 goals that Brisbane kick.
Yeah.
They're going to be more concerned about the 25 that they kick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got a 230-plus aggregate, and it's just money for jam. I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes over halfway through the third quarter. That's the sort of football I think we're going to see up there on Sunday afternoon. And it's supposed to be good conditions, and Geelong priming up for finals, and the Lions just trying to show their fans that they know how to play footy. They've got a couple of good, strong, young key forward potential targets. And, I think this will go over by a long way.
Yeah, I'm happy to step into that as well. Lions have gone over 13 of the last 18 as underdogs at home. And late in the year, day games are usually a good play to the over, having gone over 53 out of their last 77. As the weather gets warmer, you get a few sides that are, you know, we talked before about injuries and so forth. And the first thing to go in that sort of scenario is defense and intensity, particularly for sides that can't make the eight anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit of layer rising happens and a few scores get run up. So I'm happy to be the over here.
Good call, bro.
We're finishing Sunday Twilight. We're back at the Docklands for Essendon and the Western Bulldogs. Bombers getting about 9 goals. Total points line, high 160s.
Yeah. Oh, look, it'll be a shit game of football. Dogs have shown all year they're not all that interested in scoring. They're only interested in the stop.
Just like suffocating oppositions.
And the Bombers are what the Bombers are.
Yeah.
They'll be buoyed by a win last week, but... geez, I tell you what, you could have got bloody good odds start of the year, Dons, to get 2 wins in a row at some stage across the course of the season.
You could have got a price 2 wins.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, the Dogs are still in that fight for the top 4.
That's right.
So, yeah, they'll win. But, you know, you're talking 9 goal start.
It's an easy lay down.
170 points means you're trusting one of those teams to kick 15 goals. So.
We're trusting the Dogs to kick 15 goals because it won't be, isn't it?
Obviously, the Dogs to kick 15, 16 goals. I've got enough going on this weekend. I don't need this shit.
I'm the same. So that gives me a total of 4 this week. Got the under in the West Coast Hawthorne game, under in North Melbourne Sydney, under in the showdown, and the over in the Brisbane Geelong game.
Yeah, I've got 5 this week, and uncharacteristically for me, I've got the one head-to-head, which is the Swans at the minus, and then I've got 4 totals. All the over, I'm expecting points this weekend. Big point weekend. Kick some goals, you dickheads. Overs, Richmond St Kilda. Overs, Collingwood versus the Suns. Overs in the showdown, Port Crows, and overs, Geelong, Brisbane, up there.
There we go. Good luck and good punting, folks.
Get around it.